Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Thank you for listening on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There you heard some highlights of last night's fabulous national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. It was well worth waiting up for to see the end, staying up for to see the end. It was one of the better national championship games that I have ever seen. Last year was one of the best national championship games I've ever seen. If you remember how great the Alabama and Clemson game was and how terrific the ending was as Deshaun Watson drove Clemson down the field and scored the game-winning touchdown after it looked like Jalen Hurts was going to be the hero. And a year later, Jalen Hurts was benched at halftime in favor of a true freshman, the Tua man, who was put in an unbelievably difficult situation with his team behind, a true freshman in the national championship game, being asked to go in at halftime when his team is being shut out and down two scores against one of the best defenses in the nation. And all he did, just stop right there and think about that for a minute, first of all. Think about a kid that was in high school last year, a true freshman who sat for the first half of the game. You've got a kid ahead of him in Jalen Hurts, who was making his second consecutive appearance in a national championship game, who this year had 17 touchdown passes and only one interception, who in his brief career, who was a true freshman last year, 40 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions and countless big runs. Those numbers are solid. Those numbers are good. Those numbers, that's a quarterback you can trust. A kid that's only thrown one interception all year long. And then you add in the fact that last year he ran for 954 yards and 13 touchdowns. This year he ran for 808 yards and 8 touchdowns. An unbelievable weapon and a kid that you could trust not to turn the football over. A kid that has taken you to back-to-back national championship games. And Nick Saban had the balls to bench him at halftime for a true freshman. Now, everyone's, Alabama, blah, 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 blah. No. Go back to Twitter and look at the way that I would say at least 80% of the college football people that I follow on Twitter, they were crushing Nick Saban. Oh, I can't believe it. The great Nick Saban. He's desperate. He makes a huge mistake. He collapsed under the pressure. He let Kirby Smart get the best of him. He's down and couldn't handle it and decided to. He's going to panic and go to the true freshman. If you want to follow someone on Twitter and basically believe the opposite of whatever he tweets, you'll do pretty good in college football. That's Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell is crushed Alabama and then crushed Nick Saban for benching this kid. It's almost got to the point where I felt bad for Danny Cannell, because whatever he's tweeted like the past couple of weeks, it's the opposite has happened. And so and he was just one of the guys, but there were plenty. It was all over the place. Nobody, maybe a handful, very few people were tweeting out, "It's a good move. This is the right move." The vast majority of college football analysts and people that I follow and people on Twitter were just crushing Nick Saban. So I don't want to hear why. What else did he have to do? What else could he have done? It's an easy decision. No, that was not the easy decision. That took huge balls to make that move. And I still, we've seen a lot of crazy things in national championship games. I mean, last year was right up at the top of the list. How quickly we forget how great that game was. But last night, for this kid to come in off the bench, his team was getting shut out. Georgia, I mean, hell, you can make the argument that Georgia is the best defensive football team in the nation. I don't know. I don't know if they are. I'd listen to it, though. They're one of them. They're one of the best. I mean, they're a really, they were just a breath away from being the national champions. And this kid comes in as a true freshman. 14 to 24, 166 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and then runs for 27 yards too. In a half as a true freshman off the bench against Georgia with the team down 2 scores. And after he takes just a terrible, terrible sack that Jalen Hurts would not have taken. He would have got rid of the football. He wouldn't have taken that sack. He then makes a play and makes a pass that Jalen Hurts would not have made right after that. I mean, okay, let's remember who Alabama's kicker was and how regulation ended, right? He missed an easy field goal right down the middle, and it wasn't close, with the national championship on the line. And so after Georgia, after another true freshman and Jake Fromm took a bad sack, he was bailed out by his wonderful kicker that wears goggles and has an excellent mustache, Rodrigo Blankenship, and has a fantastic name, Rodrigo Blankenship. Whatever NFL team ends up with him, you'll have one hell of a kicker and an absolute treat. He's a fantastic young man. They call him, they call Rodrigo Godrigo in Athens. Very good. Hey, he deserves it. And he went out there and drilled a long field goal. Okay. All right. He bailed his quarterback out, bailed Georgia out. And then when Tua took that sack, back to the 41, right? Back to the 41. And so it's second and 26. It's second and 26. And it all happened so fast. That sequence was remarkable. He gets sacked. Then you see Saban throw his headset down. And he's over screaming and complaining to who? Jalen Hurts. And while this is all, there's no timeout. And then they just keep going. And before you can even digest the idea that, oh, I think that sack just lost Alabama the national championship because they needed to score a touchdown here because their kicker is not going to make anything. He has to be mentally shattered right now because he just missed a gimme kick to win the national championship. As soon as you're trying to come to terms with that, all of a sudden, 41-yard touchdown pass to win the national championship. Freaking believable. And I don't know how many of you stayed up to watch the interviews. They were great. I think Tom Rinaldi first went to Nick Saban, and Nick Saban said, I'm asking the questions. Now, was that a great game or not? And he sounded choked up, and he smiled, which was the most shocking thing of the whole thing. He smiled. And he said that's the happiest he's been in his whole life. I mean, he showed real raw emotion. That was different. That was unique. He was like all of us. He couldn't believe what just happened. I'm sure that he thought the game was over after that sack. And yes, it was a good game, Nick Saban. It was a great game. But I mean, then they talked to Jalen Hurts, which, boy, that, you know, I don't know if that was necessary by ESPN to shove a microphone in his face, but he handled it with class. He was awesome. And throughout the game, You saw after Tua threw his first touchdown pass, who was the first guy to congratulate him and embrace him was Hurts. And then if you listen to his comments, I mean, he was great, talking about how happy he was to win a national championship. That's a difficult spot for a kid to be in front of a microphone, moments after your team wins a national championship, but they won it because you got benched. A year after you lost in heartbreaking fashion, you were on the other side of a game like that to Clemson. And I thought, hey, we sit here and crush athletes when they don't talk in difficult situations or when they don't act or react the way we want them to. That kid was money. That kid, and if he stays at Alabama, great, and has a position change, because, I mean, that their quarterback of the future settled now. Great, but I saw someone tweet out that he's going to go home and Jim Harbaugh is going to be asleep on his front lawn waiting for him to try to get him to transfer. And so, yes, there'll be plenty of teams, I'm quite sure, that are looking for Jalen Hurts to transfer, and any program would be more than happy to have him. That's leadership. That's a great teammate putting his team first, because that's what it's all about. It's a team sport. And he displayed that. So, and I saw someone tweet out, hey, have your young athletes watch this interview. That's how you handle a situation like that. So, a lot of credit to Jalen Hurts. But then, so they're talking to, they talk to the Tua man. And hey, that's his Twitter handle. Tua, that's why I'm calling Tua man. And it reminds me of one of my favorite heavyweights of about 10 years ago, David Tua, and his nickname was Tua man. And so, you give him the microphone, and it's like you're talking to a 30-year-old NFL quarterback. Mitchell Schwartz, Chiefs right tackle, retweeted this because, I mean, everyone that loves football watches this kid, and you see the replay, and I was watching the coach's film room going back and forth, which is just fantastic, with Kevin Sumlin. David Cutcliffe was terrific to listen to. Mike Gundy, he just had a death stare when the game ended and said nothing. But that was, and they break down football in a different way that maybe not everyone would enjoy, but it was really good. And so you see the play, and they show the replay, and you see what he did. It wasn't just him getting lucky and throwing the ball up to a wide-open receiver. And so they asked him about the play, and so Mitchell Schwartz tweets out, and I think this was everyone that was watching this, everyone was thinking the same thing. True freshman quarterback talking about seeing a disguised cover two, looking off the safety to open it up to come back to the backside wide receiver. And that's what he said. You think his kid's going to be all, well, I saw the receiver. No. Well, here's what happened. I saw the disguised cover two, and I looked off the safety. I mean, and that's just what he did. Because then Kirk Herbstreit, they went over the replay, and you see him looking at one side of the field, waiting, watch the safety move, turnover, fires a picture-perfect football, game over. And you're like, that's a true freshman? Oh, boy. He was doing things in a national championship game that the Chiefs can't get their quarterbacks to do in postseason action when the game's on the line. And that's a true statement. What a freaking play. And I'll be honest, I felt like watching that, I felt like maybe that could possibly be a glimpse into our future, the way that went down. A bad mistake by an experienced quarterback in a tough situation, but the next play, he overcomes it with an incredible arm, an incredible throw, and again, I'll go back to balls that most quarterbacks don't have to make that throw and the tools to make that read. And I'll be honest, I just said this, you know what? That's why I want Patrick Mahomes to be the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. That could be a sequence that we see. Takes a bad sack, makes a bad mistake, but comes right back and does something. that'll knock your socks off, that'll knock your pants off. I don't know what that means, but I mean, that's how excited you could get.
Did that happen to you?
I don't know. It would happen if Mahomes did something like that in a postseason game for the Chiefs. Absolutely. I'd absolutely take my pants off. I mean, you know. I feel like all of Kansas City would, really. And so it was just, that was just so much fun watching that game from beginning to end. Whoever you vote for or whoever you don't vote for, whatever side you're on, it doesn't matter. But it was entertaining to see that Donald Trump did not know the words to the national anthem. That gave everyone a little chuckle. Some levity. We can laugh. If you don't laugh, you might cry. Don't cry. Enough crying over the weekend. So that started off like, oh, okay. And Twitter is on. Let's go. Then the divisive halftime performance by Kendrick Lamar, where you had people that didn't know who. It was kind of one of those things where if you're tweeting out and you liked that halftime performance, me and you probably get along. We're pretty good. We have fun together, you know? If you were tweeting out, who is this? Who is this? Who's this person? What's going on? This is terrible. I don't know. You should probably take a break from Twitter. I mean, I saw some really interesting tweets about that.
Can we be friends if I miss the halftime show because I was reading Harry Potter to my son?
That's fine.
Putting him to bed. I missed it. I feel bad because I like him
a lot. I watched it with my sons, so it was good. I mean, I like Kendrick Lamar.
I do too.
You know, and he's lip syncing the whole thing, but it's you don't understand the concept or sampling and.
I tell most of them lip sync at
background
things like
tracks,
that.
But it's one of those things where it if you feel like you have to explain what happened, then it's just not. Jake, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. He's pretty mainstream now, I would say. If you don't know who Kinlick.
I saw a tweet from someone that said, nobody under 30 knows who he is.
I know.
We're all over 30.
Right, and we all know who he is.
And his best song or his most popular song ends the show
right
today. So, I mean.
Yeah, so.
It was just bizarre to see, like, you know, and how people were fighting about it.
I love when people like to speak for like an
right
entire demographic of people. No one knows who this guy.
And I get it, that's not your cup of tea or whatever else, but it's like people are so anxious and so ready to be pissed off about something and to be mad and to be outraged. And I'm like, from beginning to the end, if you didn't find a way to be entertained by that, if you want to sit there like during that game last night and bitch and moan, but Central Florida is not in this. What can I do? Then don't watch that. Go to the movies and rob yourself of watching one of the more entertaining sporting events of the year. Was it not?
I was.
Were you not entertained?
I'm not a fan of the All SEC final.
I'm shocked that you watched it because I think I heard a segment last week where you were done with that game and you weren't going to watch it. To big bad SEC school, I'm not going to watch. Rah. And you actually went like that. You went. Rah, rah, rah.
I did. I stomped around.
I wonder if Nate's watching this. And I mean, you were watching it. Guess what? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Oh. I mean, the first half I was like watching it going, well, this sucks. This is boring, and this is why I didn't want to see an all-SEC game.
I kind of liked it because Georgia was de-pantsing Alabama, and it was kind of shocking. And then when they scored that touchdown, I'm like, oh, boy, this was compelling. It wasn't maybe entertaining, but it was compelling. Like, oh, boy, what's going on here?
You ever sit back and be glad about tweets that you didn't send out? Like, you ever think about sending a tweet out, and then you go, nah, I'm going to hold off on that one, and then, like, later you're really glad you did?
What was it?
So, like, when Georgia was looking like they were de-pantsing Alabama, I thought really, I almost fired up a tweet that said, wow, funny, it looks like, it's almost like Georgia's playing against the third-best team in their own conference in this game. Like a smart aleck, you know, Alabama shouldn't be here. And right. then something just told me, you know, it's Nick Saban, it's Alabama, they might come back and make me look really stupid and win this game if I send this tweet out, so I'm going to hold off on this one. And I was really proud of myself.
And that's why I was compelled, because I wanted to see, and that's one of the reasons I love football. Okay, you just got totally outcoached, and Alabama was totally outplayed. I can't wait to see the adjustments that he makes. And I cannot wait to see if he goes to the true freshman. Because that was a whole speculation. And there was no way he's not benching Hurts. No way is he benching Hurts. And I mean, he benched him. And I don't know, maybe they would have come back, but I don't think they would have. That decision won him another national championship game. And there are plenty of coaches in college and in the NFL. For the fifth time, I'm going to say this word in this segment, that don't have the balls to divorce themselves from the game manager and go with the young and talented dynamic quarterback. But hopefully, if there are any coaches watching named Andy and saw that game, maybe that helped him make his decision for next year. Just maybe. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot.
Are you not entertained?
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here is some other fun things from during the game last night. I follow him because I conducted a bizarre interview with him about... maybe 11 or 12 years ago. Over 20 years, I've done a lot of interviews, and there's a few that stand out like, boy, that was bizarre. That was different. And I remember I did an interview. Don't ask the details. Just know that it happened. When I did a lengthy interview with Charlie Daniels. and Charlie Daniels will tweet some things.
Yep.
That'll catch your eye. Have you guys seen the Taco Bell commercial dealing with the Illuminati?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Charlie Daniels does not like that commercial.
No, he did not appreciate that, did he?
I felt it deserved a retweet.
Yeah.
Charlie Daniels last night during the national, and he was watching because early on he said, this ought to be a dallywhacker. Two SEC teams rocking out in Hotlanta, loving it. I said, oh, Charlie Daniels is excited for the game. So he's watching. His next tweet was, hey, Taco Bell, the Illuminati is not a frivolous subject. So.
It's not something to be trifled with.
Let me tell you something, Taco Bell, if you're listening or watching, don't butt heads with Charlie Daniels. You understand? Listen to this song. Turn this song up for just a moment. And you tell me, he's singing about the devil. Don't you think he knows a little bit about the Illuminati, too? Do you guys think the Illuminati is a frivolous subject?
Nope.
Then you're right there with Charlie Daniels.
It's right up there with the Pentabrick.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there was a little bit of that in there, in that interview from years ago. A little bit of, you know, those subjects were touched upon. Charlie just believes a lot of things going on out there.
Yeah, well, you gonna say he's wrong?
No. No.
I dare you.
No. But no. Who am I, Taco Bell? I wish I was. But. So I feel like that may have been the best tweet from last night. I do love this song, and it makes me want to watch Urban Cowboy. Urban Cowboy has been getting a nice run on cable over the past couple of months, so I've had a chance to watch it four or five more times. the wonderful love story of Bud and Sissy, and that damn convict Wes. Wes Hightower! And do you remember Wes Hightower's friend in Urban Cowboy, who was announcing the Mechanical Bull Rodeo, later went on to become the manager of the Cleveland Indians in Major League, Lou Brown. See, it all comes full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know you love that, don't you? He's no longer with us, so I apologize. So you were entertained by the game last night?
Yeah, no, obviously it was one of the best games I've ever seen. I mean, the one last year was right up there, too. There have been some tremendous national championship games over the years.
How about just these two games we got from Georgia?
Yeah.
Georgia-Oklahoma and Georgia-Alabama.
I felt like Georgia kind of made the mistakes that Oklahoma made against them the week, you know, the 2 weeks before, whatever it was, a week before. They kind of got too conservative in the second half, I thought. You know, they tried a lot of that wildcat trick formation stuff when it looked like their freshman quarterback was, let him make some plays. I mean, he was playing tremendously in the game.
Rodrigo drilled a 51-yard field goal in overtime.
Just drilled it.
I feel Rodrigo needed to be rewarded with a win. That's the one guy I was rooting for Georgia.
The only guy I was rooting for Alabama was that poor kicker himself. Like, I didn't.
Right.
I mean, it's like, man, if I'm happy, because I don't root for Alabama. I respect Nick Saban and all that. It's just they're Goliath. It's hard to root for Goliath. And that poor kicker, I was like, man. And isn't the story that his family's had season tickets to Alabama games for 30 years?
A 36-yard field goal to win it with 3 seconds left in regulation.
Oops.
And it wasn't even close.
No.
He yanked it.
There was never a moment nope.
Well, not to mention.
I felt bad for that kid.
He missed one in the first quarter, too? 40-yarder in the first quarter?
But you know what?
Well, he made one, then they got the penalty and got moved back.
They would have forgot about that. But with 3 seconds left, 36-yarder, straight on, wonderful conditions. They lose that game. You know how crazy Alabama fans are? He's never living that down. Yeah. So, yes, for him and his family, thank goodness. Yeah. But, no, I'm going to tell you what, man. He's gonna be hell on wheels, this Tua kid. But man, I know it's Alabama, but I don't see how you can't root for that kid.
Well,
him interviewed and watching what he did.
Do you think Alabama's going anywhere? I mean, they're leading rusher, the starting quarterback, and the leading receiver, all three freshmen.
Did you see the left tackle, true freshman, that came off the bench and was dominant?
Yeah.
Six true freshmen played a major role in that game for Alabama.
Unbelievable.
Six. I mean, these kids.
The best teams in the NFL, the best teams in college football have absolutely no hesitation in playing true freshmen and winning with true freshmen. That is an excuse that is. Youth is no excuse in college football. If you are not winning in college football and you're using youth as an excuse, well, you're recruiting the wrong players. Even Missouri, when they went on their run, they benefited from going to a lot of young players, freshmen and sophomores, that played wonderfully down the stretch. That is what college football is now. These kids arrive on campus ready to play. So never, ever let your program, never let your team tell you the lie that, I was too young. That's not valid in college football. It's just not. As two true freshman quarterbacks battled head-to-head last night for the national championship game. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I enjoy the halftime show because I like Kendrick Lamar. And I really don't care if someone else didn't. It's where I'm at. I liked it. So, Jake, did you watch it?
Yeah, it's great. I love Kendrick Lamar. Big fan.
So
I've heard he doesn't like you very much.
Well, you know what? I don't blame him.
Wow.
Right.
I don't blame him.
Rumor.
I wouldn't like me.
How would I know?
I really enjoyed his interview with Howard Stern. It was really fun to listen to.
Stern!
So, you know, I told you I missed the halftime show because I was putting my son to bed.
Thank you for once. Because I feel like I tell you to watch TV shows and watch movies, and just because I tell you, you avoid it at all costs.
That's
I told
not
you,
true.
But I said you should listen to some of these interviews because they're great.
I'm addicted to them now.
And you do.
I'm addicted to them.
And don't
now.
You like it?
Yeah.
You get Jake in there.
I believe I'll become a better interviewer because of listening to him.
No.
Maybe not. I hope so. I got back and the second half had already started. And so for a while, I just assumed that Hurts had been injured. Because, they go, oh, there's two freshmen out here throwing the ball all over the place. And I'm like, well, clearly Hurts must have gotten injured, Because I just assumed, you're not benching the guy that. And they kept talking about his record, 25-2. You don't bench a quarterback that's 25-2. And
one
just
interception
to the
all year long.
Yeah.
But they had to throw the football downfield.
I mean, that was the thing. And I saw some people on Twitter saying, like, gosh, ESPN keeps referencing his record, but he's not a passer. And they need to throw the ball to get back into the game. Right. So that's clearly why he made the move. So, it makes sense, but still, it's a ballsy move, as some people would say.
Right. One time I saw when they asked Saban about it, because we just needed to throw the football better, and I thought the other quarterback could do it better. Like, oh, okay, common sense. There it is.
How about the touchdown he threw to tie the game?
Right.
He was clearly not throwing.
On fourth down.
Yeah.
On fourth down.
So I guess maybe he felt like he just had to throw it, but he wasn't throwing it to the guy that caught it. You could tell on that one, that was a bit of a lucky play, but the touchdown pass to win the game was not luck. That was him knowing exactly what he was doing, looking the safety off. And I saw some people trying to say, well, maybe he was just going through his progression and looking to the right and then back to the left. No, he was looking to the right, and he started throwing the ball back to his left before he even looked. He was looking the safety off the whole way, and he was trusting that his receiver was going to be there. I mean, that he knew what he was doing. That pass was unbelievable play for any quarterback in college football, let alone a true freshman.
And look, let me tell you this. We've all just recently experienced a tough loss for the Chiefs. Again, just for me, nowhere close to that. That's I don't even know if that's in my top five. It's not my top five of Chiefs losses in the playoffs. It's just not. Because I can just say how I reacted. I was far more upset for several other games. I'm not going to go down the list because I don't want to start crying again. The point is, can you imagine being an Atlanta Falcons and Georgia Bulldog fan, a hardcore Atlanta and Georgia football fan? And I get it. It's wonderful to play in the Super Bowl in the national championship game, but to have those two losses in a calendar year and both losses where you had, it looked like commanding leads enough to where, whether you wanted to or not, you allowed yourself to think that, oh, we're going to win it all.
Can't do it.
To think about the parade. Finally, this is what I've been waiting for. They're going to win the championship.
No! No!
And both times, within a calendar year, you get crushed in unbelievably heartbreaking fashion on the final play of the game. Can you imagine that?
No.
I should be able to imagine, as a Chiefs and Mizzou fan, I should be able to imagine that, but I can't even imagine that. That's I don't even imagine, if it happened just in my lifetime, that one happened in 2001.
One of the two.
Right. But within a calendar year, both of your football teams having commanding leads in the championship game, and they lost both of them in just gut-wrenching fashion. We talked about it. I mean, after the sack, after Georgia gets that sack, it's second and 26, and it's at the 41. You have a field goal kicker who is shattered, who may not make a 25-yard field goal, much less that. And it's second and 26, and then you give up a touchdown on the next play. Ah!
Hey, what happened?
Right. I just can't. And this, after you've just recovered, because it's still within a year, you've just recovered, maybe emotionally, from being up 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
My sister's in Atlanta right now. She was down there last night. She looked into tickets to see if she could.
Oh, no. No, sir.
Ones were $1,400.
Right. Well, of course. Mm-hmm. And Georgia had about 70% of the crowd because it was in Atlanta. I mean, right?
I had to text her. She was going to try to. I said, you know, you got to go to at least a sports bar or something to just be in the crowd.
She should have gone to see Kendrick Lamar because he performed outside at Centennial Park.
Oh, really?
He wasn't in the stadium.
Yeah, it's outside the building.
Was outside.
Yeah. Oh,
that looked cool. Like that was a massive humanity, but, I mean, you didn't have to get into the game to see him.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't have one of the, like, Atlanta-based, you know, musical artists playing that show since it was in Atlanta. You know, there's such a great music scene in Atlanta.
But then they couldn't have this song.
Dude, I love Kendrick Lamar. I wish he'd do the Super Bowl. Well, I'm actually kind of excited about the Super Bowl act this year.
Now, I've heard he does like you.
So, is that good? Yeah. See?
Sorry, Jake.
I don't care.
People tell me.
I don't care. Doesn't hurt my feelings.
I think it does a little bit if you really found out that he didn't like you.
And he liked Nate.
Right.
So that would bother you.
It'd be all right.
That would actually bother you.
If he just didn't like me,
absolutely.
Cool. So you're telling me he lip-synced the whole song?
No.
Who knows?
That's what Twitter saying.
I'm not going to explain this.
Twitter's telling me that
either
he was
you understand
the whole time.
What took place or you don't. I'm not going to do it. Stop it.
Some of it was lip sync, some of it wasn't.
Both of you stop it.
I'm just telling you what Twitter said.
He's a performer, man.
I'm going to spend the next hour reading Charlie Daniels' tweets.
I'm actually looking up the Illuminati right now because I always kind of forget exactly what it is. So I'm looking it up right now.
You know what?
Go ask George Washington.
Ask Taco Bell. Ask Charlie Daniels. Ask Jay-Z.
I could go for some Taco Bell right
now.
Ask
me.
Well, crank this up as we go to break on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There was some news with the Chiefs yesterday as we found out that Matt Nagy is going to be announced as the new head football coach of the Chicago Bears today at a 1 o'clock press conference in Chicago. So the Chiefs lose their offensive coordinator to a head coaching position again. Doug Peterson to the Eagles a couple years ago, and now Matt Nagy to the Chicago Bears. Some people are wondering if Brad Childress might take over, but then reports come out that Brad Childress has decided to retire, so he will not be on the coaching staff next year. So there's two coaches that will need to be replaced. And now there's at least some buzz. And by the way, you know, some people were were wondering what Brad Childress did. He was the assistant head coach of the football team. Matt Nagy was the offensive coordinator. So two pretty important positions gone from the Chiefs. And now there's at least some talk, some buzz that Eric Bieniemy could have a shot to become the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Would you guys have any issues with that?
I mean, I like Eric Bieniemy a lot.
He's, of all the coaches that Andy Reid has had here in Kansas City, I believe that he has been the one that I've enjoyed talking to the most whenever I've had a chance to interview assistant coaches. He's very impressive. He's gotten the most out of his position group. And Andy Reid is known for grooming coaches from within and elevating his coaches to coordinator positions on the offensive side. See Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see if the Chiefs will be sleeping with Bieniemy. I could use that all the time now, too. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. I'm quite sure it was a treat for your eyes. You're welcome. You're welcome for getting you started on the right foot. If you'd like to continue with this wonderful start to the morning, keep listening. Nate City is a treat for your ears. I'm not sure what that means, but the only way to find out is to tune into Sports Radio 810 WHB right now.